Familiar here. You guys liked that conversation I had with Dr. Schulz a couple of months ago, and so we're back. And I think this is a now second installment of a continuing conversation that we are want to talk about suffering. Dr. Schulz has this phenomenal theory argument that the problem that we have now in the church and maybe even in our culture is that we have failed to teach lament. We've failed to talk about what it means to live a life of suffering. And we have missed the fact that our lives are suffering lives. And that's been a huge failure, both at the church and in the world. And we start to explore some of those themes. What does it mean that humans are sufferers? And how do we look at that? Why is it that in the old days, the apologists for the Christian faith would start with human suffering and argue to God? And nowadays, the atheists start with human suffering and argue to know God. How has that change taken place? So we explore some of these things. I hope you enjoy the conversation. There'll be a lot of links in the description. So I'll put a bunch of stuff, including the email, to email Dr. Schulz and get a copy of this book as well. So hope you enjoy it. Would love to have your questions. Again, post it below and we'll start our next conversation with those questions that you have as well. So thanks. Here you go. Dr. Schulz, welcome back. Second installment of our conversation here on YouTube. I'm Pastor Brad Wolfmuller. This is Dr. Greg Schulz with Concordia, Wisconsin, a professor of philosophy. The best way to find you, is it LutheranPhilosopher.com?
It probably is, Brian. Thanks. So LutheranPhilosopher.com. And if folks are interested more on things having to do with the university, just try Concordia University, Wisconsin, or cuw.edu. There's a way to search faculty there.
We're going to lean into, in this conversation, I'm leaning into this book that you've published or have drafted and is soon to be published, The Fellowship of His Suffering, 4 briefings on the insurgency of death on demand and the counterinsurgency of pastoral care. I'm especially interested first in articulating the thesis of the book, understanding that better. Ever since I've heard you talk about it, maybe 3 times now, at least twice. And I every time I think, oh, I want to press into that a little bit more. So I hope to press into that and then to fill in the background. Because I think one of the big problems that we have is in the conversation today is competing anthropologies, competing ways of how we understand our own humanity. And so I want to kind of go that way. So this book, Fellowship of the Suffering, is available now as a draft, a searchable PDF download, and then it'll soon be published where people will be able to buy it from Justin Center Publications or from Jordan Cooper over there. But just so if people are interested in downloading this book, maybe even jumping off and grabbing it, how can they get to it? Is it an email?
Sure. Well, thanks. So I'm certainly happy to make this available. The best way to do this is if folks who are interested would please send a request, doesn't have to be anything fancy, just a request for the book to the Gmail site that begins with the title of the book. So The Fellowship of His Sufferings, that's a plural on our Lord's sufferings, The Fellowship of His Sufferings @gmail.com. And just by emailing me there, I'll know it's a request for that PDF. So as we said, it's probably good to consider it a decent first draft. It is searchable, as you can make PDFs searchable by chapter and topic, but there's none of the wonderful index stuff and so forth that's coming up.
The thesis or the first of your first volley that you send towards the church and towards us pastors is that let me put it as an accusation first, it's maybe easier as an accusation, is that the church has failed to teach lament, and that failure to teach lament has had disastrous consequences in the church and in the culture. And there's a chicken and an egg question here, but that failure to teach lament, could you speak maybe first of the evidences of it or how you see that failure? And then I want to get into the motivation or the why of it as well.
Sure. It's a big question. I am certainly not the heaviest of duty people to be talking about this. I think a couple folks that may be familiar to your viewers and listeners would be people who are, such as Ronald Ritkers at Valpo, and also Oswald Bayer, a very important Lutheran theologian, philosopher type for us to be reading right now, and others. So the basic recognition is that, as Rutgers puts it in his book on suffering, which is just, you can tell it's a scholarly book because it's half text and half footnotes. I mean, honestly, the second half of the book, and it's a thick book, is all these wonderful footnotes to show he knows exactly what he's talking about. Rutgers makes a couple of matter-of-fact observations as he's looking over the data that he's put together for us, the stuff from the Lutheran Church in particular, but the Christian Church through the last 400 or 500 years. And he points out, in something that, you know, really resonates with us as Lutheran pastors and people, is that it used to be that one's attitude and words concerning suffering were the litmus test for our confessional identity. So our understanding, I would say our preaching, teaching, this is what we believe, teach, and confess regarding suffering, that rather than some lesser shibboleths that we tend to use in pastoral conversations today, that would be the litmus test for our confessional identity. So Rutgers, in the kind of epilogue or the takeaway summary from his book, says that he is quite sure, and again, I want to emphasize, he's the guy with the intellectual horsepower. He suggests that this is plausibly the reason why the Christian faith has not been plausible to modern people. Our, what, deleting of, our disuse of, our failure to pay attention to suffering. And then you know, with that kind of intellectual horsepower sort of alerting us, then I think your question invites us, doesn't it, to think about actual ministry and human interaction, and also to think primarily about how does the Bible address this? And scripture is replete with passages, chapters, books. At least one third of all of the 150 Psalms are concerned with lament, that is, complaining to God, calling out to him, my God, why have you forsaken me in the midst of suffering? A goodly percentage of the prophets, it seems to me from my reading and preaching, and I would think that you and probably your listeners would agree, seems to have to do with suffering. In the New Testament, we find, I think it's quite clear with the Apostle Paul, for instance, that he refers fairly frequently to suffering, not something that we hear a great deal about in our sermons, I believe, by and large, but he preaches about it quite a bit. And I think he's just assuming that we have that basic literacy with the chapters of lament in the Old Testament. So as you and I were talking in one of our doxology conferences this past weekend, I think it might be possible to say something like this: what do people know our churches for? In other words, why would they want to come there? Now, one powerful reason would be for Lutheran education. But another thing is this: it's suffering. And perhaps I would even be willing to say that hasn't been a very big part of our Lutheran education the way it should.